Let's delve, as they say, into ducks and dogs and more. Another outstanding young sports journalist, part of the great 24/7 crew, a native Oregonian, Oregon State grad. He's covered all kinds of Beav sports. On Twitter, use the handle at Carter Bahns, B-A-H-N-S. Carter, great having you. How's life been treating you these days?
Been going well. Football season is it's crazy to believe that we're halfway through, but man, it's only going to get better. And you know, covering Oregon Washington this week is definitely going to be one of the highlights of the season. So I am thoroughly looking forward to about 24 hours from now when that thing's in the second half, and you know, both teams are driving down the field and moving the ball at just absurd rates, as I would assume. And man, it's going to be a fun one. But yeah, this season has been it's been electric. No shortage of excitement on a weekly basis, and I don't expect that to change this week.
So, if my math is correct, you covered Oregon State baseball, the 2018 team that won it all, had a pretty fair player named Adley Rutschman. So, seeing him in college, drafted, become an all-star, I know the team exit in the playoffs is a nightmare, but just how cool has it been to kind of follow his path to the success he's had in the major leagues?
Pretty awesome, right? I mean, coming from Sherwood, you know, I have been familiar with Adley Rutschman since he was a high school baseball player and a high school football player, and then, you know, to cover him at Oregon State, and then you know, to see him go 1-1 in the draft and immediately find success upon getting the call. It's been fun to watch. Couldn't happen to a better individual on and off the field. He is so easy to root for. And, man, Oregon State fans, I don't think there's a single professional athlete in the world right now that Oregon State fans follow more closely than Adley Rutschman. So definitely a bummer for them to bow out in the playoffs a little early, but to be, I think, you know, arguably the most important player on one of the best teams in baseball this early in his career is pretty tremendous. And you know, from what I know from covering him as a college baseball player and from knowing him back in his Sherwood days, you know, there is no reason to root against this kid to have immense success moving forward as well.
Yeah, methinks we're going to be hearing much more from he and them. I know you also follow the Blazers, and I guess since you were in elementary school, you know, Damian Lillard was the face of the franchise. Just some basic thoughts on kind of no more Dame, and perhaps with this team, with new faces, be it Scoot, DeAndre, what are you thinking looking ahead to the season?
End of a pretty fun era for sure. You know, I think any Trailblazer fan can agree that this was probably a long time coming, just with the way that the front office had frankly mismanaged things over the last couple of years. But a day that many of us, if not all of us, dreaded pretty greatly, even though we knew that there was a pretty strong chance it was going to come. So the best way that the Blazers could handle it is to get as strong of a return as possible for Dame. And I think, you know, to a great extent, they accomplished that, getting a guy in DeAndre Ayton who they can build around in the front court, you know, keeping their talent young, and loading up on draft picks that 6, 7, 8 years from now, when they're using them, you know, the teams that they got them from might be on the, might be past their contention status. So, I think they got enough pieces back to make it a fair deal. It's just sad to see this era end, because I think, you know, it would have been very fitting for them to win with Dame here. And, you know, I will be rooting for him in Milwaukee. I think just about every Blazer fan I know will be rooting for him. And I think it'd be fun to see him come back for a year or two and retire a Blazer when all things are said and done. But I think this year's team is going to be exciting to watch. I just don't know how good they're going to be in the immediate future, but I think long-term they're set up fairly well.
Talking with Carter Bahns, 24/7 Sports, let's get to some Pac-12 football. While nationally everybody's talking ducks and dogs, man, tomorrow night in Corvallis is a huge game. And in a way, the loser is kind of eliminated. What's your take on this game? And if maybe the Beavs can plug some of those defensive holes that have kind of revealed themselves against the Washington State and last week versus Cal.
Yeah, high stakes. I think you're exactly right there with your assessment. The loser probably doesn't have a chance at winning the Pac-12. You know, getting in to the championship game as a two-loss team is going to be a challenge. You know, you're going to have to rely on some of those teams at the top, Oregon, Washington, USC, beating each other up. And that is very possible, because if there's one thing about the Pac-12 that you can count on every year, it's the best teams losing one or two games and then dropping a game that nobody would expect them to. So, you know, I don't necessarily know that the loser of this game is, I mean, they're certainly not mathematically out, but they are going to be playing behind the eight ball. You know, they will be without a key tiebreaker. And, you know, I think as you look at them from a national perspective too, I mean, this is a huge opportunity for them to notch a big win on their resume, climb up those rankings, and a one-loss Pac-12 champion is going to be considered for the college football playoff. So, you know, the loftiest of goals at both Oregon State and UCLA on the line here, with likely the Pac-12 and college football playoff odds, you know, hopes coming down to this game, evenly matched on both sides of the ball. It is going to be just a phenomenal showdown at Reser, and I expect that environment to be pretty electric.
As far as this team, you know, landing DJU was a huge get, especially off a season where the quarterback play was serviceable at best, and he's been great. But I want to kind of look ahead to not just the future, but what he might contribute in spots this year. We've got to see a little bit. What's your read on this four-star freshman, Aiden Chiles?
Quarterback of the future, for sure. I don't know how I feel about them bringing him in on the third series of every game and kind of disrupting the flow of the offense. I understand wanting to get him experience and playing time, and, you know, by and large, he's done fairly well. He led a touchdown drive against Cal. But there have been some pretty clear freshman mistakes that he's made, taking sacks, you know, having to burn timeouts because he hasn't gotten the play call in. You know, those are kinks that obviously you like to work out in wins, which they have. But I think before long, that could cost them if they keep doing it. I think you disrupt the rhythm of the offense by putting DJ out there for two drives, then switching it, and then bringing DJ back out. You know, I love getting Aiden Chiles playing time because I think as a runner and as a passer, he is probably going to be the biggest playmaker Oregon State has had a quarterback in quite some time when he gets the starting nod. But until then, you know, I would be more in favor of Jonathan Smith and company, saving him for garbage time or, you know, certain packages where they catch the defense off guard. But yeah, he's got all the talent in the world, man.
I tell you what, with Oregon off last week, when he came in, it must have caught a bunch of Duck fans by surprise because I got like 7 texts. Is DJ hurt? And I had to calm him down, Carter. Talking with Carter Bonds, 24/7 Sports. As for the big one in Seattle, Oregon and Washington are kind of right where we figured. It was a lesser non-conference schedule. So let's start with the Dogs. If you were a Washington supporter, what about this Oregon team, be it maybe an improved pass rush, the diverse offense? What would give you the most cause for concern?
Well, I think Oregon's defense is noticeably better than it was last year, and that should give some pause to Washington, which obviously is probably going to rely on this game being a shootout to win. I just don't think Washington has the defense to really stymie Oregon. So going up against a defense that, like you said, has a better pass rush this year is always fairly decent in the defensive backfield. This is going to be Washington's toughest test of the year, and the Huskies have had no trouble scoring against anyone. But frankly, they haven't played anyone nearly as good as Oregon. So how can Michael Penix Jr. stack up against Oregon's defense? You know, does that trio of NFL-bound receivers run into a little bit of trouble going against a stronger secondary? Who knows? But I think if you're the Huskies, you don't feel quite as good about that matchup when you have the ball as you did last year. Now, playing this game in Seattle gives them an advantage over playing in Eugene like last year, where Oregon's defense is certainly going to be playing with a bit of an edge at Austin. You know, this year they don't have the crowd at their back at Husky Stadium, so maybe that defense doesn't travel quite as well, and we saw it struggle at Texas Tech. So, again, who knows? I really don't have a great read on who's going to win this game. But Washington's going to have a tougher time moving the ball, I think, than it has in games past.
And on the other side, if you, and I know it might pain you as a Beaver to even think it, if you were rooting for Oregon, or if you had a bet on the Ducks, what about these dogs would kind of have your attention or keep you awake at night?
As far as things that you can exploit or challenges that Washington
challenges.
Sure. Well, I mean, again, I go back to the quarterback position. Michael Penix Jr. is the betting favorite to win the Heisman for a reason. I mean, nobody has slowed this guy down. And, you know, he went scoreless against Arizona for the first time this year, but it wasn't like he wasn't effective. You know, he's about as strong of a bet to throw for 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns as anyone in the conference. And I don't care how good Oregon's defense is. I don't care how much improved they are over last year. They're going to have trouble slowing him down. So, you know, when you have a quarterback who, when he has time to operate, is about as accurate and as much of a big play threat as anyone in college football, and you pair that with three, like I said, NFL-bound receivers, you're going to have your hands full there for sure.
And the last thing I want to get to, of course, in the midst of what seems to be just a remarkable Pac-12 season, we know there are uncertain futures for the Cougs and the Beavs. You're a West Coast guy, OSU alum. You know, even though I'm an East Coaster, I understand the harsh business aspect. I hate what's happening. What's your feeling about this massive shakeup that is, in essence, costing us this 108-year-old historic conference?
Yeah, I mean, more than anything, I just think it's really sad. You know, college football is so tradition-based. That's what makes it different from the NFL. One of the many things that makes it different from the NFL. But when you scrap that tradition and you scrap the regionality, it starts to look like a much different sport. And it becomes particularly sad when schools get left behind because of it. You know, it would be one thing if Oregon State and Washington State were going to the Big Ten with Oregon and Washington, and they could keep those Pac-12 rivalry ties together, and, you know, they had some semblance of normalcy. But the fact that, I mean, they have been left high and dry, and, you know, they're fighting legal battles to even have control of the Pac-12, you know, it frankly is just sad. And I think what has resounded with me is the fan bases of the schools that are leaving the Pac-12 saying, hey, we don't really want this either. You know, like, the schools are certainly going to benefit from it financially, but the student athletes who say, well, you know, I didn't sign up to play games in the Midwest, and the fans saying, well, we're going to miss playing Oregon State and Washington State, and we're going to miss playing USC and UCLA if you're an Arizona school. You know, that's the part that you start to question whose best interest is being served here. And it all comes back to the TV company, not the fan or the student athlete.
Now, good points, folks. He's Carter Bonds. Great debut on the show. Keep up with his work for 24/7 Sports. His Twitter handle is at Carter Bonds. Carter, hey, thanks a million for joining the show. Really, really appreciate the time. Be well and look forward to talking again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy.